I had not been human for very long, but even so, I knew something was not quite right in the land of Deborah, and I could not leave her on that note. "Debs," I said, "what's wrong?" I saw her neck muscles tense, but she continued to look away out over the water. "All this family shit," she said. "With these two girls and their fucked-up families. And your family with fucked-up you. It's never what it should be, and it's never right, but everybody gets it except me." She took a deep breath and shook her head. "And I really want it." She swung back at me with ferocity. "And no goddamn jokes about the biological clock, all right?" To be completely honest, which I am when I have to be, I was far too deeply shocked by Deborah's behavior for any jokes, whether about clocks or anything else. But joke or no, I knew I had to say something, and I cast about for the right thing and could only come up with a question about Kyle Chutsky, her live-in boyfriend of several years. I had seen the approach on a daytime drama a few years back. I liked to study them for clues on how to act in ordinary situations, and it looked like this was going to pay off here. "Is everything okay with Kyle?" I said. She snorted, but her face softened. "Fucking Chutsky. Thinks he's too old and beat up and useless for a nice young thing like me. Keeps saying I can do better. And when I say maybe I don't want to do better, he just shakes his head and looks sorrowful." It was all very interesting, a truly riveting look into the life of someone who had been a human being much longer than I had. But I was all out of ideas for constructive commentary, and I felt very much the pressure of the clock. The one on my wrist, not the biological one. So, floundering about for something to say that would be properly comforting and yet hint at my need for immediate departure, all I could come up with was, "Well, I'm sure he means well." Deborah stared at me long enough to make me wonder if I had really said the right thing. Then she sighed heavily and turned to face out the window again. "Yeah," she said, "I'm sure he means well, too." And she looked out at the bay and didn't say anything, but worse than any words she could have uttered, she actually sighed. This was a side of my sister I had not seen before, and it was not a side I wanted to see a great deal more of. I was used to Deborah being full of sound and fury, signifying arm punches. To see her soft and vulnerable and roiling with self-pity was unsettling in the extreme. Even though I knew I should say something comforting, I had no idea where to begin, and so I stood there awkwardly until finally the need to leave was stronger than my sense of obligation. "I'm sorry, Debs," I said, and oddly enough I was. "I have to get the kids now." "Yeah," she said without turning around. "Go get your kids." I said, "I need a ride back to my car." She turned slowly away from the window and looked over at the building's door, where Ms. Stein was hovering. Then she nodded and stood up. "All right," she said. "We're done here." She walked past me, paused only to thank Ms. Stein with flat politeness, and led the way back to her car in silence. The silence lasted almost all the way to my car, and it was not very comfortable. I felt like I should say something, lift the mood a bit, but my first two attempts fell so flat that I stopped trying. Debs pulled into the parking lot at work and stopped beside my car, staring straight ahead through the windshield with the same look of unhappy introspection she'd been wearing for the whole trip. I watched her for a moment, but she didn't look back. "All right," I said at last. "See you tomorrow." "What's it like?" she said. And I paused with the door half open. "What's what like?" I said. "When you held your baby for the first time," she said. I didn't have to think very hard to answer that. "Amazing," I said. "Absolutely wonderful. It's not like anything else in the world." She looked at me, and I couldn't tell whether she was going to hug me or hit me, but she didn't do either, and finally she just shook her head slowly. "Go get your kids," she said. I waited for a second to see if she would say anything else, but she didn't. I got out of the car, and as she drove slowly away, I stood and watched, trying to fathom what was going on with my sister. But it was clearly something far too complicated for a newly minted human, so I shrugged it off, got into my car, and went to get Cody and Astor.